Welcome to the Cherryleaf podcast. In this episode, we're going to look at writing a CV for a technical author or technical writer job. Now, this is mostly the experience and the situation in the UK. It may differ in other countries. So when it comes to your CV, there's usually two parts. There's a cover letter, and then there's the CV itself, or what Americans call the resume. In the cover letter, generally what you would put in that is information on your availability, how quickly you could start any job, the location of where you are or where you're looking. So, for example, if you're based in one place but are able to move, relocate to somewhere, it's handy to put that into a cover letter. And often you can put into that cover letter information on your salary expectations. And then we get to the CV itself. And there are different aspects to that as well. There's the way in which it's laid out. And then there's issues over what you should and shouldn't write. So let's start with the layout first. And if you're applying for a role as a technical author, then one of the skills that you're offering to that company is the skill of information design. So the way it's laid out is in some ways a reflection of the skills that you have in the job that you'll be doing. And there's more than one way to lay out a CV. It's good to have the text in a format that's easy to read. So generally in a font that's of a sufficient size, and to have the text left justified. Our preference of all the different layouts of CVs is one that's offered by the European Union. And there's a website that the European Union has called Europass. The purpose of the Europass website is to help EU citizens communicate their skills and qualifications when they're looking for a job. And there's other information to help employers understand the skills and qualifications of workforce and also education departments. So there's a number of different things on the site. What's important or relevant to this situation is there are templates in Word that you can download for writing a CV. There's also an online CV creator and cover letter generator as well. And there's some examples of CVs that you can download. We'll put the website address in the show notes. What do we write? Well, let's start off and let's stick with the Europass CV and the five basic principles that they list for a good CV. Number one, concentrate on the essentials. Employers generally spend less than 1 minute reading a CV before deciding to reject it or to shortlist it for detailed consideration. If you fail to make the right impact, you miss your chance. And that 1 minute may be optimistic. It's amazing how quickly you read CVs if you have a lot or if you deal with a lot of CVs in a day. And you scan, you look for keywords, you look for particular bits of information on a page. The other advice Europass has, if you're applying for an advertised vacancy, always ensure that you comply with any application process entirely. So the vacancy notice might specify a job description, might specify how to apply, and that can be through an application form online or by email. And it may also give information on how long your CV should be and the format it should be, whether they want a covering letter, and so on. So if you're sending your CV to Cherryleaf for us to include you on the database for any future jobs that come in, what we ask is that the CV is provided in Word format. And that's a common situation for most companies that provide a recruitment service. The reason for that is that we would strip out your contact details from your CV and we would add our logo and we would also convert it to be a PDF. Now, because you're applying for a writing role, because it's expected you have writing skills and information design skills, we don't change any of the words in the CV and we don't change the layout. So it's not reformatted or restructured into a corporate standard way. It's the way in which you have laid out your particular CV. In the Europass details, they say be brief. 2 pages are usually more than enough, irrespective of your education or experience. Generally, what we find with technical writing roles is it needs to be 3 pages. The Europass recommendation is do not exceed 3 pages, and that, again, is generally what we would recommend. And again, from Europass, if you hold a degree, include your secondary school qualifications only if they're relevant to the job in question. Now, if your work experience is limited, then describe your education and training first, and then highlight any volunteering activities and placements. Now, that work experience or limited work experience may also relate if you're trying to change careers. Often technical writers do become a technical writer as a second career. So they've come across it maybe in their 30s or 40s. And so it's not necessarily from university all the way through that they have been doing a job as a technical author. So in that situation, if you have done any voluntary work, writing documentation, either for an open source project or for a charity, then it's useful to highlight those particular skills at the beginning. If you have done any training yourself in technical writing, it's useful to include those at the beginning also. The other thing to do is if you haven't had the formal job title of a technical author, but you have been doing writing in your role, for example, you've been involved with the rollout of a new IT project or software project, and you've documented the policies, the procedures for implementing it, or you've written the trainings guide for the end users, or you've written the short getting started guide, even though you might have had a job title of programmer or IT project manager or support person, then write down your documentation writing experience, because that's the skill that somebody's looking for. They're looking to see, can you write? Do you have those skills, amongst other skills as well, that they're expected for a technical author? So include any experience of doing technical writing from previous jobs. So what is a person that's looking at your CV looking to see? Well, they want to see, as I said, writing experience. Have you got experience of writing about technical information and communicating it in a clear way? Have you got experience of writing to a deadline? If the documentation needs to be shipped at a particular date, then it needs somebody that can deliver to a deadline. Is there any evidence of that? Can you fit in within a team? If you're having to liaise with developers to get information from them, can you demonstrate that you have the skills of working across different departments? Can you manage yourself? Have you got evidence of being given a job and delivering it, rather than having to wait to be told what to do? Are you a self-starter, self-managing? To a lesser extent, but sometimes relevant, do you have experience in the particular tool that they're using? Now, this is far less important in a technical writing role than it is in an IT role, but it still is relevant. At the very least, you should put down that you have experience of writing topic-based authoring using a help authoring tool, because if the client is looking for somebody that's got RoboHelp experience and you've used another tool like Help and Manual or Madcap Flare, then if they know anything about the job, they can probably be reassured that it wouldn't take too long to map across your skills and get up to speed in RoboHelp, because the fundamental way in which RoboHelp is created and designed and works is very similar to these other help authoring tools. So let's go back to the second principle from Europass, and that is to be clear and concise, to use short sentences, and to avoid cliches, and to focus on the relevant aspects of your training and work experience. So we've covered some of that in what we've talked about already. Avoiding cliches, there are cliches that you see in technical authoring CVs. And there is the curse, I suppose, if you ever write the phrase close attention to detail, or that you are a details-orientated person. And the curse is that as soon as that is written, somewhere within the CV, there will be a typo, there'll be an unexpected gap, there'll be incorrect grammar, there'll be a missing full stop, there'll be some error that will suddenly leap out to the reader. So that is a cliche to avoid. Another cliche, proven leadership skills. In a technical authoring role, you're looking for somebody that's not necessarily leading other people, but managing and leading themselves. So it's not really often relevant to a standard technical authoring role. So the other advice on the Europass, give specific examples. Again, give examples of where you have written in the past. This is if you've not been a technical author, experience of writing projects that you've done. Another thing that's often recommended is that you quantify your achievements. This is harder to do for a technical writing role. It's often, if it's paper documentation, very hard to know how many people have read a document, to know how many support calls have been avoided. And sometimes, again, a common thing you'll see on CVs is you've managed a budget, that you've delivered things to a certain cost budget. Often as a technical author, you're not given a financial budget to manage. It is the time that you're managing. That's your budget. And keep your CV up to date. This is the third point under step two of being clear and concise on the Europass recommendations. Often we'll see CVs and they'll finish maybe 12 months between now and the last entry on their CV. So what's happened in between? Has somebody been unemployed for 12 months? Have they been in jail for 6 months? Have they been on the run? Or have they been doing a job and they've just not updated their CV? So it's important to keep your CV up to date with the most relevant work that you're doing. And Europass recommends don't hesitate to remove old information if it doesn't add value to the position. The third point that is listed and recommended by Europass is to always adapt your CV to suit the post that you're applying for. And they recommend highlighting your strengths according to the needs of the employer and focus on the skills that match the job. Don't include work experience or training that's not relevant to the application. Explain any breaks in your studies or career, giving examples of any transferable skills you might have learned during your break. And before sending your CV, check again that it corresponds to the required profile. And don't artificially inflate your CV, because if you do, you'll be likely to be found out at the interview. Now, on this one, probably with a technical writing role, one of the most important things is if you are again changing careers and you have a CV where you're applying perhaps for a technical authoring role, but you're also considering other roles, maybe project manager or marketing copywriter or something like that, or you will need a CV for, say, applying for a project management role, a CV for applying for a technical author role, a CV applying for a support role. In that sense, there is a need to focus on the skills that match the job. But you probably don't need to individually tailor each CV to each individual job. You might do in some situations, but in most cases, if you've got a CV that is for a technical author role, that will probably be fine. In terms of artificially inflating your CV and your experience, be aware that people these days do look at LinkedIn, they do look at Facebook and see what information there is about you on those sites. So if you've put on your CV that you've got a certain qualification and it contradicts what you've written on LinkedIn, then very easily you'll be found out. And if you have been unemployed for a period of time or taken a year to travel the world, I would recommend you don't hide that. People these days do experience breaks in their working career where they are out of work for periods of time. People do go on breaks to explore the world. And most employers these days should understand and accept that as the type of things that happen with people these days. Point four on the Europass recommendations. Pay attention to the presentation of your CV. Present your skills and competences clearly and logically so your advantages stand out. Put the most relevant information first. Pay attention to spelling and punctuation. Print your CV on white paper, unless you're asked to send it electronically, and stick to the suggested font and layout. Now, on top of that, I'd recommend some other aspects. I would say don't include a photograph. Although a photograph makes you more personable and can help identify, put a face to the CV, it can also put people off as well. There is that risk. We once had a candidate send their CV in with a photograph, and it was of them smiling and doing thumbs up with both hands. And we sent this to a company, and they didn't like it. They almost rejected that candidate. He was a strong candidate. We recommended they did interview him. In fact, they recruited him. But he almost missed that opportunity because of the view of the less professional perspective that that provided of him by having that photograph. Now, other things to pay attention on your CV. Look out for, if you are sending it as a Word document, for metadata in the document properties. We've had CVs sent through to us and looked at the metadata, and there has been profanity and other information, unprofessional information, in the metadata. In that situation, they'd taken a CV from somebody else and modified it. They hadn't checked on the document properties, and the profanity that somebody else had included on their CV had followed through into the CV that they'd sent out. Another aspect, look out for your email address. If you have an unprofessional email address, that can put people off as well. Don't include your passport number. We get CVs in particular from India where they have included their passport number. In the UK, that information isn't needed, and from a confidentiality perspective, it's best that you do not include that. You probably don't need to include your marital status as well. That's probably not relevant to a company that's recruiting. Now, with some recruiters, they will do a filter based on keywords. And although if you have skills in one help authoring tool, some companies will filter for particular tools. So if you don't have the word RoboHelp on your CV, you may be filtered out before anybody actually reads a CV. And this is a tricky one to deal with. I have heard of people packing their CV with those type of words, but having them done in white. So they're hidden from a human reader, but they do appear to computers. So it's white on white text. I'll leave you to judge whether that is appropriate or not. Another thing is hobbies. With hobbies, don't go into too much detail of what your hobbies are. Again, what's interesting with hobbies is if you've taken up a leadership role or a writing role outside of your personal career, then that can be relevant. It can show that you're interested in the role that you're doing, or you've got skills that you could bring to the role that you've applied elsewhere, but you haven't necessarily had the opportunity to apply in a working environment. You don't need to prove that you're interesting through the hobbies that you have. And again, with the paying attention to the presentation of your CV, this leads on to point five, check your CV. And in particular, get someone else to check it. It's very hard to spot any typos or mistakes on content that you've written yourself. One way is to vocalize it, to read it out loud. That's one way you can spot errors yourself. Another is to read it backwards. And sometimes you can spot typos or two words duplicated, the. That's one way. But in general, the best thing is to get somebody else to check it for any spelling mistakes, check that it's clear and easy to understand. And remember, if you're going for a technical authoring role, then you are expected to be able to write professionally. And your CV is evidence of your writing. And finally, when it comes to sending your CV out, it's best to start the file name of that CV with your own name. Don't save it as cv.doc or cv.pdf, because many, many other people will have used the same file name. So use your own name plus CV. That's probably the best thing to use. And from there, you can apply for particular roles. You can also register with specialist technical recruiting agencies such as Cherryleaf, and we'll keep your details on file. We'll include you on our mailing list of people who receive information on any vacancies that come in. Do be aware that looking for a job outside of your own country can be challenging. In many situations, it's not possible for companies to recruit without a great deal of paperwork somebody who's based overseas. If you'd like more information on technical authoring careers or to be kept up to date with the technical authoring vacancies that we at Cherryleaf get in, then you can contact us via info@cherryleaf.com. The show notes for this episode, including details on Europass, are at cherryleaf.podbean.com. And finally, I should say thank you for those of you that voted me into the list of the 25 most influential people in content experience. There are apparently over 1,700 individual nominations and votes, so thank you for that. Thank you.